Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Always good to be joined by my good friend and co-host, Jim Barrier.
Hi, Bob. Now, before we go any further, I would like to congratulate Elizabeth, who became Queen of England 70 years ago today. Congratulations, Your Majesty. That's just an incredible, incredible reign and run. So I'd be very proud to be British today.
Well, it is an incredible reign, in as much as the crown had all power stripped from it years ago. She's been mostly a figurehead. She's been a good figurehead, and I do admire the woman, but all the power is with the parliament and the prime minister, and yet the crown is still very important to the English.
Yeah, it actually, there's an analogy there. It's kind of like Christ and the church. You know, he's a figurehead, but he really doesn't have any authority in the church.
I guess, depending on what church you're in, that is an interesting analogy. There's a lot of churches where Christ is only the figurehead, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually stole that one.
Now, who did you steal that from? Come on, Jim. If you're going to steal, at least get the guy's name down.
A.W. Tozer.
Oh.
Great writers.
I love Tozer. Oh, The Pursuit of Happiness, Knowledge of the Holy. Great, great writer.
Yeah, one of his articles was called The Waning Authority of Christ in the Churches. And that's where
did he make the analogy to the Queen of England? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, not the Queen specifically, but he said
it's just the crown.
The crown, you know, in a monarchy. Anyway, what I wanted to do, because right now the Olympics are going on in China, and next Sunday is the Super Bowl. I know you're all excited about that.
Well, you know, it is interesting, because I know we have the Winter Olympics every 4 years, but do you remember the Winter Olympics ever being within a week of the Super Bowl? That seems awfully close together this time. Or am I just not remembering correctly?
Well, I think what happened is everything got staggered because of COVID. Normally, the Olympics would have occurred in 2020, I believe.
But still, it would have been on. The Super Bowl is every year anyway. Why are they making it so?
Yeah.
I guess I can blame it on COVID, because you can blame anything on COVID.
I guess. Exactly. The truth is, I haven't watched either of those events for a long, long time. I quit watching the Olympics basically because of the blatant partiality with judges favoring athletes from their own country or their own block of nations, and I just got fed up with that. So I have.
Well, depending on what nation they come from, they could maybe be sent to prison if they don't vote the right way.
Well, exactly. So here's what's going on with the Olympics. Okay, the United States sent athletes to the games, but announced a diplomatic boycott, meaning they didn't send any U.S. officials. Nancy Pelosi, one of our favorites, said athletes are there to compete, not to risk incurring the anger.
Oh, I heard that blithering speech of her. Make sure that when you go over there, you don't say anything offensive, because they can be a real tyrannical government. Oh, no kidding, Nancy, and you're just now speaking out on that. It was amazing.
Well, she said because you would incur the anger of the Chinese government.
Yeah,
Now, she wasn't warning them. She was threatening them. That's what I think. Here's what Yang Xu, the deputy director of international relations for the Beijing Olympic Committee, said these words: any behavior or speech that is against the Olympic spirit, especially against Chinese laws and regulations, are subject to certain punishment. Now, the punishment is this: they'll go after the sponsors. All these people have sponsors now, and they will go after Coca-Cola or Nike or whoever. And so that's the punishment that will take place, fiscal punishment.
Yeah, you know, and these sponsors like to pat themselves on the back regarding how woke they are and how progressive they are. And yet in China, they have literal concentration camps, literal slave labor in the present day, in the 21st century. Nobody seems concerned about that. Slavery 200 years ago, that's a problem. Slavery in the present, people just ignore it.
because there's too much money and corporate sponsors. There's too many things going on. People, you know what it is? I've considered it. It's like, you know, you see movies sometimes about the mob and the mafia, and somebody innocently gets sucked into the thing, and then they owe them a favor, and before you know it, that mob controls their life. And this is kind of what's happened with some of these corporations and commercial products. Independent studies have shown that there has been literal genocide, particularly against the Uyghur people in Xinjiang, who are Muslims. And they've been slaughtered, and over a million have been kept in, check this out, re-education camps. So the human rights abuses are horrible over there, but no one will speak up. NBC refuses to air an ad by Florida Congressman Mike Waltz called The Genocide Games, and he singles out Procter & Gamble, Nike, Coca-Cola, and Visa as corporate sponsors of the games, the point being that there's so much money involved and the network isn't going to turn them down. We should have boycotted it completely. I know those athletes trained for 4 years. I feel sorry for those kids, and they work hard for that. But to go over there is basically condoning or endorsing.
Well, a real boycott means you don't send anybody over. Didn't that happen? Wasn't it during the Carter administration, or am I getting the wrong president?
There was a time where
we boycotted and just did not go at all.
Yeah, and they should have done that this time. But what I'm saying is the big difference now is in sports, and in 40 years' time, what has happened, sports is all about the dollar, and you have these companies that are in bed with China, and they are not going to bite the hand that feeds them. And so everybody's been enslaved to that. So it has to do with money. It has to do with sponsorships. NBC, shame on you for broadcasting these things. But look at all the money they would lose if they didn't. And I really do. I think they should have boycotted completely. You know, saying we're going to have a diplomatic boycott is meaningless. Anyway.
Well, if they need an excuse, Jim, they could just say COVID. It's because of COVID.
Yeah. Well, but you're not allowed to say where it came from.
they'll say COVID is the excuse. Not that we believe it came from China, but it's still the excuse.
Yeah. You see the irony in that, don't you? Yes. Okay, but politics in sports is nothing new, particularly the Olympics. In the 36 Olympics in Germany, Jesse Owens went over and won 4 gold medals. This did not make Adolf Hitler.
No, Hitler had a little conniption fit over that.
Well, he did, but here's the thing that's embarrassing for me as an American. There were only 2 Jewish athletes on the United States Olympic team, Marty Glickman and Sam Stoller, and they were taken off the team because of pressure from anti-Semitists within our own ranks, and Jesse Owens was one of the replacement runners. He protested, but he went ahead and ran, and so he won one of his gold medals replacing a Jew, which, by the way, is a race.
Yes.
I just wanted one record.
Just in case Whoopi happens to be listening.
Yeah. And then there were other things, and Cassius Clay, who I remembered him as, won the gold medal in light heavyweight boxing. Allegedly, he threw his Olympic medal into the Ohio River because of his frustration with racism. This has never been proven. It was actually, they put it in a movie, but he's never, he can't now, but he never actually said that happened. But
Wouldn't we know? Wouldn't he have that medal hanging up on a wall somewhere if he didn't throw it away?
Oh, they dredge the thing every year looking for it. But the point of it is he was controversial, and he was just a young kid, and he won the gold medal. And then he immediately launched a career of being controversial. As soon as he won the heavyweight title from Sonny Liston, he joined the Nation of Islam and changed his name to Muhammad Ali, which, again, is also controversial because that name was supposed to go to Malcolm X, but Malcolm X ticked off Elijah Muhammad, so he gave the name to Cassius.
Yeah, and Malcolm was an interesting story because he went to Mecca and found them so peaceful compared to the Nation of Islam with Elijah Muhammad, and yet how peaceful are the Muslims in the Middle East too? So, but apparently, compared to what we have over here with the Nation of Islam, it seems peaceful by comparison.
Yeah. Well, and Malcolm came back and he said there are no black Muslims. There are no white Muslims, black Muslims. There is just Islam. And so I had to at least.
Yeah, well, that was a version of Islam that did not sound all that bad. Unfortunately, when you read the Quran, you find other stuff that does sound bad.
Yeah. So Ali, he continued to go on. He refused induction into the army because of his religious beliefs with Islam, saying, "I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong." And I'm on record here. I was a big fan of the boxer. I think he was the greatest of all time. I really do. But I lost a lot of respect for him over the thing. He never called out Elijah Muhammad for all of his adulterous ways and getting teenagers pregnant. So he wouldn't. And so I lost respect for Ali for not being conscientious when it came to those issues. So, but he was certainly controversial. Then in 1968, we had the Olympics, and two black athletes, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, won the gold and bronze in the 200-meter event. And on the platform, they wore beads and scarves around their necks, symbolizing lynching, and black socks with no shoes, representing poverty. And then the thing that everybody remembers is they held their fists up with black gloves on in solidarity with black power. And that resulted in their suspension from the team. Now, and I'm going to give it up for George Foreman, one of my favorite athletes, boxers, comedians, hilarious guy. After that issue, when he won the gold medal, he waved a little American flag in the ring. And so good for you, George. You know, he knew the opportunity that afforded him. So the point is, there has been controversy in the Olympics and political issues and ulterior motives and that stuff going on for a long, long time. But it wasn't always in our living rooms nonstop. Now with cable TV and satellite and everything, you know, you can watch the whole thing and you're bombarded with this stuff. And it's so commercial. You know, it started with the Dream Team, the Dream Team, the basketball team, where they finally let NBA athletes compete because they couldn't keep up with the Russians and all the other.
Well, that's the thing. The Olympics was supposed to be for amateurs, but the other countries were sending their professionals. So we said, okay, if you're going to do that, then we'll send our professionals. I thought that was fair.
Yeah. But the whole thing has become so commercial. At any rate, there's good and bad with all of those things. So I'm not watching the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. I didn't watch the Summer Olympics. And I likely won't watch the Olympics unless there's a drastic change in all of the politicizing and that stuff. But I, for one, think we should have boycotted across the board. We shouldn't have sent athletes over there, and we shouldn't be broadcasting.
Well, there's all kinds of boycotts we should be doing with China these days, not just the Olympics.
And you know, Leslie and I have tried to not buy products made in China, which means there's almost nothing that you can buy, unless it's the local farmer.
Really, yeah.
And it really is. It's funny. It's a joke, but it's not a joke. Go into Costco and just look at the labels. And it's amazing how many things are made in China. I'll even buy something made in Vietnam. I'll buy something, made in here. But I am trying to not support that regime, and so I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is. So there you go. That's my
opinion. You're saying, Jim, that lately every product says made in China except COVID-19. That one does not say made in China.
Yeah. I have a very, very close friend, someone I really love, who is just as liberal as you are conservative, and she refuses to acknowledge that she won't call it the China virus when it first happened.
Well, I don't care whether people call it the China virus or not. They could call it whatever they want, but we need to at least acknowledge the truth behind its origins.
Yeah. Well, her reason is because if you do that, then you're siding with the extreme right. So I don't know.
Or you're just speaking the truth.
That's not a big seller, Bob. I know you have a show, and you're on a network where we like.
I know.
Truth.
Truth is so vastly overrated these days.
Let's move on to the NFL. The Super Bowl is next week, and I don't care, but it is next week. And actually, I think they played the Pro Bowl today, which is the NFL's All-Star game. I haven't watched the Pro Bowl since Dan Fouts played in it, who was the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers way back in the 80s.
But so, don't worry, Jim. Football, I heard that it wasn't even worth watching at all. Everyone said just skip
I never watch it.
Okay, now, guys, before we go on, since it's well known, and I've openly admitted over the air that I don't follow sports, but Jim does, and Brendan does. Brendan, some of the things Jim says are going to be really clever and really funny, and I may not get it. And we don't want him to have to listen to the crickets. So you make sure you laugh heartily when Jim makes his little sports puns.
My finger is right on top of the
laugh track.
Yeah, I actually have my finger.
You hear a laugh track?
Hey, let's use the Bewitched laugh trap.
I have my finger ready on the punchline drum sound.
I loved all those, and there was always that one female voice in those things that went in the middle of the laughter. I don't know what that was about. So okay, on to the NFL, and I'd like to say that I think most NFL quarterbacks can relate to hearing the crowd chant Hosanna one day and crucify him the next.
Crowds do get out of control and are easily influenced.
I want to talk about one of my favorite guys to talk about, maybe. I don't know. He's just Green Bay Packers MVP quarterback and State Farm huckster, Aaron Rodgers. You might know him, Bob, on the State Farm commercials. He's with the kid from, he does these funny commercials for State Farm.
The only funny insurance commercials I can recall are the Geico ones. The others seem to pale by comparison. I love the Geico commercials.
I love the lizard, yeah. So Aaron Rodgers has been in the news a lot lately. One, for his stance, his anti-vax stance. And he claimed he was immunized, but he really never had the COVID vaccination. And that he got busted on that, so they made a big deal about it. And then he said this is what his response was. I believe strongly in bodily autonomy and ability to make choices for your own body. I should not have to acquiesce to some woke culture or crazed group of athletes or individuals who say you have something to do. Health is not a one-size-fits-all for everybody. This guy's actually friends.
Well, if he was talking about the choice with your body for an abortion, he'd be heralded and applauded.
But see, he probably doesn't hold that view when it comes to that topic. But now he also went on, Rodgers, this guy, he's a great quarterback, but he's just a goofball. This guy changes celebrity girlfriends like a free agent changes team jerseys. That was one to laugh at.
That was one of the ones you should have chimed in on, Brendan.
Well, I mean, last year was Danica Patrick. This year is Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, but yeah, exactly. I'd rather not get into celebrity gossip like that personally on a.
Well, I'm just saying he likes the limelight, is what I'm saying.
For sure.
Now he upset Christians recently when this is what he said about Christianity. I don't think it's very welcoming. Religion can be a crutch. It can be something that people have to make themselves feel better. And because it's sort of binary, it's us and them, it's the unsaved and the saved, it's heaven and hell, enlightened, heathen, holy and righteous versus sinner and filthy. I think it makes a lot of people feel better about themselves. They say, oh, I've got Jesus, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and there's only 144,000 of us going. And even though there's 7 billion people on the planet, I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet to a fiery hell. What type of loving, sensitive, omnipresent, omnipotent being wants to condemn most of his beautiful creation to a fiery hell at the end of all this?
Well, it shows quite an ignorance of true Christianity. However, given the way some Christians present the gospel, you can kind of sympathize a little bit with where he's coming from.
Well, and that's where he's coming from, the environment he grew up in. But Mr. Rodgers, I don't agree with you. And our friend, Dr. Everett Piper, who you've had on the show.
Yes, many times.
He did a fine job of correcting Rodgers in one of his broadcasts. And so I'm not going to take a lot of time to discuss all of the fallacies in Rodgers' representation of Christian theology. My point is that some athletes think that their opinions make them experts on a topic. They use their celebrity status to pontificate to the rest of us commoners. Kind of like the Hollywood types. Whoopee!
Was that a play on words with Whoopi?
Was
that
there? Yes, okay. It was. Yes, it was.
I got that one, Jim. I got that one.
Well, you better step. You know, that's a problem in pop culture. And I consider today's athletes to be part of pop culture. They're entertainers. And so they do this kind of thing, just like a lot of actors.
Well, that's America's answer to the crown. We talked about how the queen doesn't have any real power, but she's still very important. Well, we kind of put crowns on our celebrities. We kind of coronate them.
Oh, my God.
So in a way, that's where we're doing our own royalty, where we care that some celebrity spouts off about a certain subject.
I think it's ironic that we have shows like American Idol, because we idolize these people, and everybody wants to be a star because they want to be worshipped. I shouldn't say everybody, but it's kind of a trend in our culture today. Back to the NFL. More news from the NFL. This is very recent. Tuesday, former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL, the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, and the Miami Dolphins, and any or all other teams that may be charged for discrimination. No one will hire him as a head coach since he is black. That's what he believes. He may have a case.
Well, does he have proof that that's the reason they're not hiring him?
Supposedly.
He can never prove it. He can never prove it. But he's going to go to court, you know, to make his case. And I think he has a case.
Well, depending on who the judge is, he could win this thing, whether he has any evidence or not.
He certainly could. Well, listen, here's some things, some statistics. 70% of the players in the NFL are black. So there is certainly a cultural environment there that he is a part of. And I think that a black coach can relate to the players just as well, maybe better than a white coach. Because most of the coaches were former players. They come up through that system and they understand the culture.
But wait a minute. Right now, what does culture have to do with? It's a game. It's a football game. It's about winning or losing. What would the culture have to do with that necessarily?
You've apparently never heard any interviews with any of these players. It's full of culture, and it's unavoidable. Anytime you have a player of a certain background, the environment he grew up in, the things that he learned are going to be a part of who he is and how he
communicates. Well, I understand that. It's a part of his success story, but still, it's a game. It's a game with rules, and you're either making a touchdown or you're not making a touchdown. You're tackling somebody or you're not. Either the team's well-coached or it's not well-coached.
That's pretty idealistic. It's played by human beings.
Oh, am I confusing everybody with truth again? Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah. These are people who have absorbed things. They've been educated a certain way. They have adapted things, even language things. So I think that there is a relevance there. Now, there is only one black head coach in all of the NFL right now, and that's Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. There have been a few over time, but right now he's the only one, and there are only two other minorities that are coaches, Ron Rivera, whose parents were Puerto Rican and Mexican, and Robert Saleh, who is of Lebanese descent and is a practicing Muslim, so he could be considered a minority. The rest of them, there are no minority coaches, aside from those three guys, and only one of them is black. Now, the NFL has a thing called the Rooney Rule, requiring teams to interview black coaches. It's kind of their version of affirmative action. They don't have to hire any, but they have to at least interview one whenever they're looking for a coach. I think it's silly. And I don't agree with affirmative action or the Rooney Rule. I don't agree with President Biden nominating a justice for the Supreme Court just based on race and gender. I think those things should have no place in the decision.
Exactly. When something is done just because of race, that itself gets close to the definition of racism.
Well, exactly, and so I don't agree with those things, but skipping over someone because of race or letting that be part of the decision-making is also wrong, and I think...
If it can be proven that that's what they deliberately did because of the race,
well, then
yes.
It's very hard to prove that, unless you can get recordings or someone who will say, I was in a meeting and this was said. Eric Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, Leslie Frazier, Troy Brown, T. Martin, Pep Hamilton, Lovie Smith, who coached in a Super Bowl years ago, Charlie Strong, Deuce Staley, Ronald Curry, Raheem Morris, Ken Norton Jr., Hugh Jackson, Vance Joseph, Anthony Lynn, who coached the Chargers a few years ago, and, of course, Brian Flores, who is filing this suit. So there are qualified, capable black men out there who could be head coaches, and for some reason they're all getting passed over. So I think there is something a little fishy about all of that, and I'm not
well
sure.
if it can be proven that they're being passed over because they're black, then that would be a legitimate case of racism. I would want to see that proof.
There's another part of the case that's quite interesting where Brian Flores and another person who spoke up, Hugh Jackson, they actually stated that the owners actually said, I'll pay you $10,000 if you lose every single game this week. That way we can get a better draft pick as it goes on.
Yeah.
And head coach that filed this lawsuit originally, he said, no, I'm not taking that money, and I'm going to play my players to their best ability. And it just so happened they were really, really, really good, especially with the roster that he got. Hugh Jackson, on the other hand, he took advantage of that, and he started losing a lot of the games until he put in a rookie quarterback in there, and they did successfully well from that point on. Hugh Jackson might have a case to help out for the actual lawsuit because he's going to join into the lawsuit. And the other thing you got to point out too is that they're really risking their NFL career, specifically these two coaches. One of the coaches is currently the head coach of Grambling State University, and he's probably going to stay there for the rest of his football career, and he's pretty happy with that, in all honesty. The other one's still looking to get in the NFL, which is the guy who filed the lawsuit, Brian Flores. I have a feeling because people or the owners have a lot of money, a lot of resources, Brian Flores is backed up to a wall, and I don't see this working out in the end. So I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah. And he was a head coach, but I think he likely will never have that opportunity again. But I think there's a case, but just saying, well, if he can prove it, then it's legitimate. That's not true. There's a lot of things that don't win in court. It can't be proven, but it doesn't nullify the truth of the issue that's going on there. So I think that there may be something to it, but I don't think they have any way that they can prove that in court. And so life will just go on as usual. Now, here's another. We're going to move on. Here's another controversy in sports. John Gruden resigned in the middle of the season this year, early in the season, coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I have a hard time saying that. It's hard to say Las Vegas Raiders as it is Los Angeles Chargers. But Gruden resigned after emails surfaced of him using homophobic, racist, and misogynistic language during his job as an ESPN analyst, prior to him even being the coach of the Raiders. And so there's politics in sports, and there's political correctness, and he has become a victim of cancelization by the politically correct.
Well, now, in that case, that would be something easier to prove, though, right? Because wouldn't that alleged stuff be recorded?
They have the emails. But, you know, I think about Gruden the same thing I think about a number of other people who have been caught in scandals. I think he got caught doing what an awful lot of others have. But since they have the goods on him, and he resigned before going through this humiliation of being fired. But I feel bad for him in that sense that he was pressured because of the political correctness. And the statements are wrong. He shouldn't have said those, shouldn't use those words. The truth is they were primarily directed at the commissioner of the NFL. And so that's why he got in big trouble. The NFL has been the most hypocritic league, I think, of all of them. Well, the NBA is right up there, too. I remember late-night talk show hosts and media people ridiculing Tim Tebow for kneeling after a touchdown. And yet, Colin Kaepernick...
Yeah, it's a whole different story with him.
For kneeling during the national anthem. What a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah, they're so selective in their causes. When it comes to one person, they say, religion, politics has nothing to do with sports. But then when it's a politically correct position, then it has everything to do with it.
On the other hand, Kaepernick has not been invited back to play for any other team in the NFL because he's so controversial and nobody wants that albatross. So, and the truth is, Tim Tebow, Colin Kaepernick, I'm not sure how well those guys would play. It's a very competitive league, and there's a lot of great quarterbacks. But there's just that type of stuff happens. And, you know, play football. That's why I quit watching football. Because
Yeah, it's like nonsense, just play the game and stop all this other stuff.
Did you guys hear that Washington officially has a new nickname now, officially?
No, Brandon.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like you're stealing somebody's thunder here.
Oh, okay.
Let me get to my next paragraph, please.
I'm just so excited for this.
Yes, I know. The Washington Commanders is the new name
of the Redskins. Yeah, I heard that.
No, well, they were formerly the Washington football team, Washington Redskins. And so now they're the Washington Commanders. And I think it's a dumb name.
They were going through this with the Braves, too. And you know what's interesting is the Native American groups don't seem to mind. They were flattered by this. But we have these bleeding heart liberals that are getting offended on their behalf.
I mean, there's the Cleveland Indians, and now they're the Cleveland Guardians.
Did you know that the logo for the Washington Redskins that they had for years and years and years was actually designed and drawn by a Native American? He was very proud of that. But it's the left-wing nut jobs and the people that are trying to rewrite everything in our culture on these crusades. And, yeah, you're right. The Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know what that means, but everyone's having to do this. Even our own San Diego State University announced changes to their mascot, Monty the Aztec Warriors, who used to roam the sidelines during games. And the SDSU president said the team would retain the Aztec name. They're still the Aztecs, but they would create a more culturally sensitive.
Well, so we're offending the Aztecs by calling them warriors? The Aztecs were warriors.
I don't know.
See, now, we don't care what the Native Americans say about the names of football teams named after Native Americans. We don't care what actual doctors say about COVID. All we care about is what our politicians and bleeding hearts say about all this stuff.
Exactly. So, I don't know. This is funny. Monty, he still technically exists, but he's no longer a mascot. He is now a spirit leader.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck.
Okay, yeah, but good luck if anybody wants to name themselves after the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ. All right, Jim. Well, we have run out of time. It goes fast when we're having fun. We'll have you back on again soon. And by that time, it'll be after the Olympics and after the football, and we could do some Monday morning quarterbacking, I suppose.
I suppose.
we'll do Monday morning quarterbacking on Sunday night. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.